San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can get all these podcasts commercial-free on iymoney.com or on iTunes if you search the title of the show. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your device. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, an accomplished marathon runner, a best-selling author, a lecturer, a philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. Richard, how are you tonight?
Doing great, Joe.
Yeah, great. Happy 4th of July to everybody. Hey, let's dispense with any further discussion. We have a VIP on the line, and we want to devote as much time to him as possible. We are honored to have with us tonight for the 4th of July show the new publisher of the new San Diego Union Tribune, Austin Buettner. Austin, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, our pleasure, our pleasure. So so glad that you bought the paper in May so you were able to capitalize on all the great Supreme Court decisions last week, because I think the editorial page might have looked a little differently if you had bought it in July or August, right?
Well, you know, that I can't comment on, okay. But, you know, our view is our work should reflect the views and values of our community, and we're delighted to be part of the San Diego community.
Good, good, good. Love for everybody, right? Right. So,
Austin, what day did you guys close that deal exactly, just so our listeners know?
That's a darn good question. Probably about a month ago, three weeks ago, something like that.
So right at the end of May.
About May 7th or so, somewhere in there? Was it May 7th or...
I'll take your word for that. Sometime in the last 4 or 6 weeks.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So, Austin Buettner, what a great name for a novelist, but here you are now a publisher. So, did you ever
know? Well, you know, someday I'll write a book on my experiences in the newspaper industry, and that might be a novel, or it might be a thriller. We'll just see how it turns out.
Well, just to give folks a little background, I guess you were a Dartmouth graduate and majored in economics and then went on to become an analyst at, Smith Barney. And then at age 29, the youngest partner at the Blackstone Group. And after that, I guess you founded your own company, Evercore. Thought it was kind of interesting that I guess the Tribune had hired your company to help negotiate their transition, and then you guys wound up buying the paper, right?
Yeah, but the two weren't confluence. I took a couple tours outside the private sector. Mm-hmm. I worked for the U.S. government in Russia back in the mid-90s for a few years, and more recently when I retired from Evercore after taking it public, I was deputy mayor in Los Angeles and spent most of my time on the civic good. So Evercore happened to be working for Tribune, but long after I had already retired from Evercore.
Coincidence. I thought it was like that Remington deal. He liked the razor company so much he bought it, but anyway.
Yeah, no, not one of those kind of things. Now, someone asked me about buying the papers, and I said, well, I'm a 7-day subscriber to both already. Why would I need to buy them?
Exactly.
So now, how often do you get down to San Diego? Are you down here periodically?
Yeah. So I'm back and forth. Mm-hmm. Russ Newton, my partner and colleague, is the day-to-day head, together with Jeff Light, who's been there a while. The two of them set the day-to-day tone. I'm down there about every other week for a few days, meeting with folks in the community, trying to work out some of the broader strategy things that we need to do at the paper, and meeting with advertisers and sponsors and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm down there about every other week for a few days.
Wonderful.
So, Austin, what was the impetus behind the deal, assuming there's no confidential secrets here that you can't disclose?
Yeah, no, it's pretty straightforward. We think scale matters, in particular in the print business. There are four big newspaper groups you're probably familiar with, the San Diego Union Tribune and the Suburbans that it also owns, the North County Suburbans in particular. Los Angeles Times, we own some community papers as well. In between us is the Orange County Register, and then there's a group that surround and fill in some of the holes that owns the Long Beach Press, Telegram, and papers like that. There are tremendous economies of scale in the good old-fashioned print newspaper business. So there's too much printing capacity. You can combine that. The papers can be distributed together. And what we're trying to do is take some of the resources we save there and invest in a better product, because at the end of the day, we want customers to get up in the morning and see the San Diego Union Tribune and say the content's as good, if not better, than it ever was, and it's an essential part of their lives. And that has to happen in San Diego, and it happens differently in San Diego than Los Angeles, two different communities, two different voices, politically different and different in so many ways, but there are some things in common. We're all part of the broader story of California. Mm-hmm. We're all part of the California look at how we react and see things either to the west and the Pacific or to the east and the rest of the country. And so some things in common, but two very distinct communities. It's important that we respect and preserve the local identities of both papers.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that I saw you on TV with the governor the other week. I guess one of the first priority items is water every time. And actually, I think your editorial by Dr. Familetti, who said, you know, we have 1 year of water left, I think that provided a ton of impetus to this whole water conservation movement, or at least a higher level of concern.
But that was, you know, that was our purpose. One role newspapers have traditionally played in their communities is to be that convener, to be that agenda setter. And I don't mean an agenda from a political standpoint, mm-hmm. but more from
priorities.
What as a community should be, yeah, exactly, priorities. What should mm-hmm. we be talking about? And it's clear to us that water is one of those things that is so important in our lives for mm-hmm. obvious reasons, but it's not a question of if it's going to rain tomorrow or not. We have a broader set of issues and lots of choices being made by elected administrative officials on our behalf, and we just thought it was a chance to elevate the conversation. Mm-hmm. So the governor and I sat down for an hour, and as I said before to he and his team, you could get TV cameras to follow you in a dry field, and mm-hmm. they'll take a 20-second clip. You could go on a radio show and talk for a half hour, but you'll be arguing with someone and you'll get in mm-hmm. 6-second sound bites. Mm-hmm. Or we can have a thoughtful conversation and broaden it and try to engage more of our readers. So it was viewed around the state. It was not only broadcast in KCET in Los Angeles, but KQED in San Francisco and the local PBS affiliate in San Diego.
Correct.
It was live streamed.
Mm-hmm.
We took some of the content, we put it in the newspaper on the website. Some of it was picked up by Jon Stewart, who wound mm-hmm. up on his show. and I happened to be in Israel the week later, and a mayor of a big city in Israel said he'd actually seen the entire webcast himself. So
wow.
Content like that where we can help bring attention and some thought, we hope, to important topics that matter in our lives, that's what we should be doing.
Well, in Israel, Sherry Arison, we had her on this show. I guess she heads one of the banks. She's one of the, I guess, wealthier people in the Middle East, right, Richard?
She's, well, the only female billionaire in the Middle East,
yeah.
does construction, but
right.
also very interested in water desalinization.
But, whereas her son David runs an outfit that pretty much analyzes systems for leakage and apparently very successful. So I did send it the link to him, so maybe it got around there. But apparently the Middle East is doing a lot of things smarter and better than we are, I would think, with water. Obviously, they're more water challenged than we, correct?
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating if you tour the country, as I did, to see how they look at efficiency and use. They look at recycling and, you know, every drop coming from the sky, every drop going through the system is measured, monitored. And they also think of it as a system. So mm-hmm. they think carefully about agriculture use versus bioscience, for mm-hmm. instance. They think about those who have longer tenured rights versus shorter rights and how you balance those. So they're very, very conscious and aware of it. Now, it's much, much smaller. So
right.
if anything, we in California should be looking to Israel as a pilot for certain technologies that might work or certain rulemaking or regulatory regimes that we might better deploy here in California. Because mm-hmm. I think one thing that ought to have been clear to anyone who watched the conversation with Terry Brown is it's complicated here.
Yeah, the management.
But yeah, and Israel, of course, is way ahead of us on vertical farming, too. We did mm-hmm. a show about that
mm-hmm.
Recently.
But we're getting there. You know, I did discuss today with somebody, you know, years ago, the air pollution in L.A. and even down here was horrible. I don't know if you remember that, but we got into the catalytic converters. We did get into some solutions. The air quality has improved quite a bit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, absolutely, and it's interesting you raise that because I think first and foremost the San Diego Union-Tribune and the Los Angeles Times need to own the conversation where we live, but connecting that conversation to the rest of the world is a pretty interesting way to view the rest of the world. So before the papers were together, one of the L.A. Times reporters did a great story on air quality in Beijing, which is an interesting story in itself, and it is one of the great challenges they face in China, the environmental consequence of all of their growing industries. But she tied it to Los Angeles. And really? You almost could have been looking at Los Angeles a generation ago was how she framed it. It wound up being highly read in Los Angeles and highly shared around the world, in China in particular. But it's an interesting way to frame a story like that because most of our readers are curious about other parts of the world. But when you can connect a story like that to how they live at home or the experience they went through, it adds more value, it gets more read. And policymakers from China are regular visitors to Southern California, understand what in San Diego and what in Los Angeles has been done to try to address some of these issues, and we're a generation ahead of them.
Mm-hmm. So what are the, other than water down here in San Diego, what are some of the other big issues? I guess, obviously, real estate development and roads, transportation, infrastructure, those are on everybody's minds. We're all talking about potholes and whatnot.
I think infrastructure. I think there are some great success stories in San Diego, the importance and the growing influence of the bioscience sector, the technology sector.
Absolutely.
I took a tour as guests of the U.S. Navy just about a month or so ago of all the things that are happening there. And what struck me is how much technology is actually happening in San Diego as a consequence of the fleet being based there for all refurbishment. You know, I had somewhat naively before thought of, well, that submarine in port has 150 people deployed in the submarine. I hadn't understood the economic consequence in San Diego of the billion-dollar retrofit and all of the great jobs that provides, all the high-end technology that resides in San Diego to service that fleet. So, mm-hmm. So there's some great success stories like that that I think we want to explain better and feature more. And there are those civic issues, as you mentioned, infrastructure and how it's paid for and whether our tax dollars are being effectively spent or not, and the San Diego Union Tribune has to be that civic conscience for the community to ask those hard questions, because if we don't, nobody will.
Charger Stadium, what do you think? You're going to wind up...
what stadium?
Well, Austin, if it winds up in L.A., I guess you'll have a paper to cover on there or whatever. So
yeah,
maybe,
covered either way there,
you don't, you don't have a dog in that fight, do you, or what do you think?
I don't have a dog in the fight. I think that I do hope the NFL... decide sooner rather than later. I think it's in the interests of all the communities involved, and not just San Diego or Los Angeles, but Oakland and St. Louis as well.
Yeah.
And we're going to support the decision the owners make in hopes that whether it is in San Diego or Los Angeles, we still have football, because it makes a difference in the community for sure. And all the teams in differing times in their history have been good corporate citizens. And I actually had the privilege of being with the L.A. Times NFL reporter, a guy named Sam Farmer and Kevin Acey, who covers the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And as our guest, we had Philip Rivers, mm-hmm. a group of advertisers, about 2 weeks ago down in San Diego. And I had a lot of fun. And I have to say, I have a ninth grader who's considering playing football or not. I came home and told my wife, boy, if his coach is anything like Philip Rivers, he should play football, because that man is a poster child for everything right in the game today.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that. I only saw his actions in the field, and I heard different sports commentators talk about whether he threw too many incompletions or a lot of touchdowns or whatever they might say about that. But boy, as a human and an individual, you can see the important role he plays in San Diego, and I think that's wonderful.
His foundation does amazing work.
Well, the only thing I think that's got the fans down here a little concerned is the notion or the idea that they want to share a stadium with the Oakland Raiders in Carson, and I just can't see that happening. But who knows? Stranger things have happened, right?
If we have gay marriage now, maybe we could have that. If you had spent the last 20 years in Los Angeles trying to predict the outcome of the NFL, you'd be wrong more than you were right, probably.
Yeah.
So we'll all know soon enough. And I think each community has something at stake, and I hope it's a good outcome for both.
Well, you know, if that blackout rule had not been in effect, the Rams probably never would have left. But they had about five bad years, and all the games got blacked out, and I think people just lost interest or flocked to UCLA and USC games, and that probably caused a problem. But anyway, we'll see where it all shakes out. Austin, would you like to join us somewhere down the road? We'll do a whole show with you, because obviously we haven't even scratched the surface. What do you say?
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Have a great 4th of July. We really appreciate you having on with us.
Both of you as well, and I hope all of your listeners also have a great 4th. Thank you
very much. Wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye now.